Iran's leader has presented a roadmap for the second phase of the revolution. He has said that Iran must not back down from revolutionary ideals. In this edition of the debate, we will look at what elements will be driving forces behind the second phase and what Iran's leader has suggested for countering malign countries that should not be in the region in the first place, like the U.S.
Marked the 40th anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the country's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, issued a detailed statement regarding Iran's standing in the world and the road to the future of the Islamic Republic. Ayatollah Khamenei addressed many issues, including Iran's foreign policy and the need for Iranians to stay firm as they press ahead on the path of the Islamic Revolution. The key parts of the leader's remarks regarding foreign policy dealt with the issue of talks with the U.S., which has adopted a tough line on Iran under President Donald Trump. Ayatollah Khamenei rejected any negotiations with Washington as fruitless, saying the U.S. and some European governments are deceitful and untrustworthy. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that the talks with the U.S. will only bring material and spiritual losses to the country. The leader noted that Iran will never ever back down from the values of the Islamic Revolution. The statement entitled The Second Step of the Revolution described the Iranian people's uprising against the former regime as the greatest and most popular contemporary movement that has left behind four decades of loyalty to its cause. The statement said the religious slogans of Iran's Islamic Revolution will never become useless. Ayatollah Khamenei also praised the Islamic Revolution as kind and oppressed, though powerful. He said in no confrontation has the revolution fired the first bullet, even against Iraq's former dictator Saddam Hussein and the U.S., but it has handed a counterpunch to enemies forcefully. Elsewhere, Iran's leader said the nation has grown much stronger since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. Ayatollah Khamenei, however, said Iran is now facing a series of challenges from arrogant powers, but with a meaningful difference. He said Iran's concern in the past was the closure of Israel's embassy or the U.S. embassy, which was a site of espionage. He added, the new challenges Iran is facing from the U.S. and its allies are just because of its powerful presence in West Asia, as well as Tehran's support for Palestinians and Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah. Ayatollah Khamenei said, the U.S. is now struggling to prevent Iran from transferring advanced Iranian-made weapons to resistance groups in the region. The leader also said Iran's strong regional presence has pushed back the U.S., forcing it to seek help from others to counter the influence of the Islamic Republic. Ayatollah Khamenei also spoke of Iran's technological advancements following the revolution and said the country must use all human and natural possibilities, which he described as matchless. Ayatollah Khamenei urged all Iranians to be optimistic about their future. He warned that Iran's adversaries have focused their propaganda campaign on disappointing the Iranian people about their future.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate in the studios, we have Sayyid Mustafa Khoshesh, who's a political analyst. And joining us from Leicester is Shabir Hassan Ali, activist and political commentator. Well, gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, Sayyid Mustafa Khoshesh. This has been presented by Iran's leader, and I'd like for you to break this down for us, what it means. He has called it a roadmap for the second phase of the revolution. What does he mean by a roadmap, and then on the part of how this is for the second phase of the revolution?
Hello, and thanks for having me. The timing of this message is very much important. The fact that this strategically important message could have been released on the eve of the February 11th rallies or on the same day, but it was released 2 days after the rallies as a message, not just for other nations, but also for the United States specifically. You know, the U.S. has been trying hard in order to wear off the trust of the Iranian people in their government, in the Islamic Republic and the establishment, through multiple plots or plans in various areas of hard warfare, like terrorist attacks, like what we witnessed this evening, as well as semi-hard warfare that includes various hostile measures in areas of economy, including the sanctions, as well as propaganda that has always been underway alongside sanctions all throughout the last four decades, in order to discourage Iranians from their government and the Islamic Republic establishment. There have been miscalculations in Washington that they have been able to wear off public support for this establishment. They've been stating, officials like Trump, Pompeo, especially John Bolton, they've been stating that the Islamic Republic has been the choice of the older generation, and it has failed to attract the support of the younger generation. But what we see now and what we saw today in the message is exactly to the opposite. First of all, 2 days ago, millions of people, as usual, they took to the streets to show their strong, firm, and full support for the establishment, despite all difficulties. Second of all, Iran, and especially the office of the Iranian Supreme Leader and he himself, they've started transitioning power to the younger generation. And this started around 6-7 months ago by appointing the youth to some very vital and crucially important posts. Now the Iranian leader is sending out the message that this is the path towards future, and this transition is going to happen. So it's very important because it heralds a transfer and a transition of power to another generation that has been brought up after the 1979 Islamic Revolution. And this has many points in itself, especially with regard to the future of the Islamic Republic, with regard to Iran's future in areas of economy, foreign policy, domestic politics, society and culture, and so on and so forth. So he's presenting the roadmap to the younger generation 2 days after millions of people supported the Islamic Republic once again. And he is saying and showing, actually, in action to Bolton, to Trump, and others that this revolution has attracted so much attention and so much support from the younger generation that it can now transition power to the younger generation.
I'm wondering, Shabir Hasan Ali, if the U.S. realizes the way that it is acting in terms of its anti-Iran actions overall. Sayyid Mostafa Khoshesh talked about the incident that happened a little earlier tonight about the bomb that took the lives of many Iranian soldiers. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. At the same time, the U.S. is holding a conference, which is called basically an anti-Iran conference in Poland, that is demonizing Iran for supporting terrorism when Iran has been a victim of terrorism itself. Which brings us back to one of the statements that Iran's leader has said about the U.S., and that dialogue with the U.S. will bear no fruit. And this is some of the examples I just used basically display just that.
Absolutely. I mean, for quite some time, Ayatollah Khamenei has been saying and suggesting that dialogue with the U.S. is futile. And anyone who wants to understand this further needs to just go back in time a little bit to, for example, the Algiers Accords of the 1980s. America doesn't honor any deal. Even before the ink was dry on the Algiers Accords, America was violating them by interfering in Iran's internal affairs, which was one of the key components of that they were not supposed to do. And going forward, we look at JCPOA, which, of course, the premise of JCPOA was that Iran is building a nuclear weapon. And this is a premise that it only exists in the minds of the American administration and the Israelis and, of course, the Saudis. There is no reality to this. There is no basis to this. Even the International Atomic Agency has said that there is no evidence. Even the CIA and other intelligence agencies have said very clearly that there was no evidence that Iran is making nuclear weapons. And, of course, Islamically, we know it's not permitted. But America keeps on doing this. And this is part of the other lesson I think Ayatollah Khamenei is giving in this letter, that we need to remain hopeful, we need to remain firm, as in the people of Iran need to remain firm, and those who are with the revolution need to remain firm and not lose hope. Because one of the things that America and its allies are trying to do by constantly battering on about the fact that, you know, Iran supports terrorism, Iran does this, Iran does that, which of course we know goes against the reality, but the mainstream media doesn't give the reality. As a result, people on the ground outside Iran tend to get a warped opinion. And this creates a situation where you have a negative opinion of Iran and ultimately of the Islamic Revolution, which is what America wants. Of course, because we know America has a big problem with Iran, and it was made very clear by Pompeo in his 15 points or however many points he had that he wanted Iran to change. And the key one in that is to change the revolutionary ideology and not to support the resistance troops. So when you have this type of constant propaganda against you from an entity that on one is two-faced, on one face it says, oh, you know, we care about human rights, we care about this, and they make all of these fake claims regarding the situation in Iran and, you know, how people are so oppressed and this, that, and the other. You can't trust someone like that. Even if you sit down and you make a very good deal with such people, like, for example, JCPOA, you need to always know that this deal is not worth the ink that it's written in and the paper it's written on. Because America will never honor it, because it doesn't know how to honor a deal, because it has an ulterior motive. This is very important.
Well, Mustafa Hoshesh, one of the things that the U.S. is trying very hard to do, and I'm wondering how successful they are, is trying to shape the public perception when it comes to Iran. Of course, they have the bloated budgets when it comes to media organizations who are trying to push that agenda onto the world. One of the things that Iran is being demonized about by the U.S. is Iran's support for Palestine. Iran's leader has said that the United States' main challenge is actually Iran's support for the issue of Palestine. And I'd like to get your reaction to that, because it also has something under that, related to that, that is, that then I'll ask Mr. Hassanali over in London about.
You know, every part of this message includes a number of, you know, examples and instances showing that despite all the propaganda run by the United States to, you know, show a dim prospect for the Islamic Republic in various areas of economy, regional power, and so on and so forth, the reality is to the opposite. Actually, in the words of the Supreme Leader, there was a time when the United States' problem was blocking Iran's access to simple weapons, you know, blocking it from importing and supplying such simple individual arms. But now its problem has grown after four decades into how to cut off Iran's transfer of highly advanced weapons technology to its allies in the region. In every aspect you see Iran's growth, but the United States has sought hard throughout time to shape some kind of glass house for the public opinion in the West, especially in the United States, in a way that messages are going out from the United States, but they do not allow alternative media, like Press TV, CGTN, RT, TRT, Al Jazeera, and others, to counter those messages. And to send their own messages and their views about phenomena and realities. This is done through a very large budgeting. The Board of News Directors in the United States operates under the Congress, but it receives the budget from the State Department. This year, its budget was about more than $661 million, and its main task is combating the propaganda or the media outlets of foes and rival states like Iran. While the main or the lion's share of this budget goes to combating the influence of Iranian media outlets abroad. And I'm speaking of Iranian media influence abroad, not domestically. So $661 million this year, $667 million or more, even a little more, was allocated in this budget to combating the influence of Iranian media and similar alternative media abroad, not inside the country. God knows how large the budget is if we consider in and outside the country. Why? Because if they manage to infiltrate the Iranian society, and at the same time they block the transfer of messages, from Iran and the other states like Chinese, like Qatar, like Russia and others, to the United States and to the Western societies, they can then contain realities and forge realities, portray their own version of realities to the world, showing something which is completely untrue and unreal. So this is what they've long been doing, and then this is not just specific to Iran and rival or foes. When there is a presidential, you know, campaign in the United States, the same thing is happening. People are convinced to vote for this or that only through media. This is the media that decides the future and the present and the future of not just the United States, but its foreign policy. That's why you may see wars, very catastrophic, tragic wars in the world where the United States wins those wars, but in reality, you don't see such a war. Mm-hmm. These wars are present only in the media. So the United States is making up for part of its losses and for part of its failures through the media.
Well, I'd like to perhaps add, Shabir Hassanali, what the U.S. has accused Iran of, and that is that Iran is wielding regional influence in the Middle East. But I'm curious if that influence, which Iran has said is misstated by the U.S., is the support that the people in the region have for Iran, such as the issue of Palestine, such as the issue of the resistance groups. We could mention Hezbollah. Iran's leader has said Tehran's support for Palestinians and Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah is something the U.S. not only can't deal with, he went on to say that Iran's presence has pushed back the U.S., forcing it to seek help from others to counter the influence of the Islamic Republic. There's nothing wrong with Iran standing behind causes like the Palestinian issue and resistance groups to counter, well, in this case, in point Israel.
Well, first of all, we have to understand Iran is, when America talks about the region, West Asia, the Middle East, Iran is a part of that region. It is the region that Iran is within. So America, first of all, has no real place. America is essentially isolated. It's miles away. It has no real business there except for the oil and for its little client states, such as so-called Saudi and so-called Bahrain. So for America to suggest that Iran has got influence in the region and this is a bad thing, this is a very, very bizarre statement, indicative of how ignorant and almost insane the administration is. But furthering from that, we can see that America has this, it's almost got this catatonic fear that Iran is supporting the resistance factions, be they in Palestine or Hezbollah in Lebanon and so on. And this has changed the equation completely in the so-called Arab-Israeli conflict. It has put the Zionists completely on the back foot, even when they are overtly getting support now from the oil fields and shopping malls with flags such as the so-called UAE, so-called Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, all of these things. Even with all of that support, it's not happening for America. It's not happening for America's ally and client, if you like, the so-called Zionist entity, so-called Israel. Things are not moving forward. There is actually, I was reading a report not too long ago, which suggests, based on Israeli research, that there is an exodus happening of Israelis out of occupied Palestine. They are leaving in droves because it's not safe over there. They don't feel comfortable. They don't feel like continuing to live in this sort of constant fear. And the reality is, and this is also mentioned in Ayatollah Khamenei's report, that Iran doesn't attack. It only defends and it supports the rights of the oppressed. This is all it does. Iran is not actively attacking, whereas America has attacked. It has manufactured entities such as Daesh, Al-Qaeda, etc., etc., Jabhat al-Nusra, and so on, which actively attacked Iraq, attacked Syria, attacked Lebanon, attacked Palestine, and also we've seen today attacked Iran itself. But Iran doesn't attack. Even when Iran is being hurt, Iran always seems to operate, since the revolution, since the victory of the revolution, Iran seems to operate with dignity and decorum and sensibly and calmly. And when it does do something, when it has to step in, like it had to do in Syria and Iraq, to assist the population there and assist the governments in defeating Daesh, right, and defeating the American-sponsored terror, it did it with dignity and with success. Okay. America can't deal with this because it knows if Iran starts, is forced to go against the Zionists, it's finished. It's over. There is nothing. The Zionists couldn't stand for 33 days against Hezbollah, which is a tiny fraction of what Iran would be.
Very well. I'm sorry to jump in. I just got to, because we just don't have any more time. In less than a minute, Mostafa Khoshesh, of course, there were many things that Iran's leader has said. I'm going to ask you about how the U.S. sees itself in need of support by other countries to confront Iran politically. Doesn't that statement in itself show how isolated perhaps U.S. is and how small its circle of countries that it can consider as allies is? In less than a minute, please.
This is very important to note that the United States used to confront Iran and other targets in the Middle East alongside a coalition of traditional European allies. But ever since the Donald Trump rose to power and discarded the nuclear deal, there is a gap between the two sides. Though some might interpret that as good cop, bad cop play, still on the surface, now what we see is that coalition of European allies has been replaced with a coalition of some very weak countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Israel that needs the United States support and protection everywhere and all the time. Now, the U.S. has done a lot in order to rally international support, especially from West Europe, for its sanctions, as well as for posing credible military threat, but it has failed.
Okay.
The United States has failed to replace that coalition, this present coalition of Saudi, UAE, and Israel with the traditional allies at a time. They are working on the Warsaw Conference in order to, have some dim hopes to bring back that support for their coalition making. But if this is the agenda and objective of the Poland conference, they've already failed because many European and non-European states have excused themselves from that meeting.
Very well. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're just fresh out of time. Thank you, Sayyid Mostafa Khoshesh, and thank you, Shabir Hassan Ali. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitaly, the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.